We were still in full compliance. This ensures full compliance in case there's a breakdown of the system.
Okay.
So.
Does that work?
And we're supposed to, resource development was the initial bid. We're hopefully going to get two more bids, so that's why we did, by recommendation, you know, not to exceed 130, because we know that number already, so we can rapidly move forward.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Keith Loomis.
Yep.
So, I mean, right, this is a request for approval of the contract with Resource Development. We're not going through the Public Works public bid process because of a perception that this is an emergency. Because if the treatment program isn't implemented in a very quick period of time, NDEP may require some fairly onerous requirements within Virginia City and Gold Hill. And we're trying to avoid those because they will be onerous, but if we don't get this done quickly enough, there's going to be some kind of threat to health and safety.
Okay.
So that's why this is being considered on an emergency basis. We're not going to consider these subsequent bids that may come in. It's going to be, this is it, and because we need to get it done now.
Okay.
Good, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Does that work?
Yeah, I just want to include that there is no threat to health and safety, and there never has been and never will be. This will just help us move forward with solid reporting with NDEP.
Okay. Fair enough.
I already went through you, right? No questions?
Yeah, so with that in mind, do we need to modify the motion a bit to actually authorize entering into the contract as opposed to, it says proceed with the project, but do we need to be more specific given that we're doing it on an emergency basis?
Now is the time to approve the contract if it's going to be done on an emergency basis.
Okay.
If we want to wait for the other bids to come in, then we're not going to get it done nearly as quickly. And that may raise the issues.
There's right. Something else to add. This actually is not a contract. This will be just like the reader boards, receiving multiple bids and then going with the cheapest bidder and most available bidder.
Let's do public comment one more time. Anybody interested in commenting on this item? No? All right. Are you clear on motion?
Not exactly.
Okay. So,
I guess my question is it sufficient to make a motion to approve authorizing the Public Works Director to proceed with the project in an amount not to exceed? Does that get us what we need to go ahead and move forward with the project? Or do we need to be more specific about what that actually looks like?
What I would like to see is, it's Keith Loomis, what I would like to see is a motion that authorizes the contract with RDC.
Okay. Are you comfortable with that, Jason?
Yeah, but if we get a couple of other bids that are cheaper, then, you know, are we going to have to stick with RDC?
Yes.
Yep.
Then I'll call and cancel all the other bids and quotes so they're not wasting their time.
Good.
Comfortable with that?
Yeah, that works for me.
Okay. All right. So I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the Public Works Director to proceed with the project to add piping and valves at the hillside tanks to increase our chlorine contact time for finished water treatment per NDEP and to enter into a contract with Resource Development Corporation in an amount not to exceed $130,000 to do said work.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Keith. Moving right along to item number 14 is to recess to convene as the Story County Highway Board. Bringing us to item number 15, which is discussion. No possible action will be taken. This is a report from a report of Public Works on the status of roads in Story County. Public Works Director Ruspicki.
Good afternoon, Chairman, Commissioners. Jason Worsbicker for the record. This is just a quick update. We are full steam ahead on engineering and design possibilities for the redo on Electric Avenue from the guard shack to USA Parkway. We got the horse signs installed on 341 on both sides of Cartwright. We have a little bit of a battery issue on the south side one, and so the replacement battery has been ordered on that one. Then I just wanted to give a shout out to my office staff and my crew. As far as the roads, you know, go in the winter, you know, they're a top-notch crew, and I'm proud to have them working for me. And that's all I have.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jason. Highway Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jason?
I do not. Thank you, Jason.
Highway Commissioner Mitchell?
Jason, I was wondering, you know, if it's possible for us to come up with kind of a user-friendly way to, I've had a couple of constituents ask about when their road's going to be redone, something like that. Is there a way we can put that into kind of a user-friendly way that says, it's not a commitment, but here's what year we're anticipating we're going to get to a resurfacing on the different roads throughout the county? I know we have that plan. I just don't know if people have easy access to it, or we can condense it down to kind of just the bare bones.
Yeah, we can probably come up with something.
All right.
How to release that CIP plan.
Yeah, we'd be happy to work with you on that. I think it'd be really helpful for people, just so they know that we're thinking about it. It's in the
absolutely
works, right? They're not forgotten. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes.
Do you mind elaborating a little bit what the capital improvement plan for road construction projects in all the communities looks like and what people can see?
Like, how do you mean?
Far West Report.
Far West went through and they did road analysis, conditions, type, traffic counts, loads, and then, you know, the different severities of the roads, and then it was all graded in a certain manner to where we basically attacked the worst roads first down to the least traveled roads. But in a sense, almost every road will be hit eventually throughout this program.
Could a resident go down that list and see their road and
yes,
what year and what's going to happen to it?
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jason. Moving right along to item number 16 is to adjourn to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, bringing us to item number 17, which is for discussion and possible action. Consideration of possible approval of determination that continuation of the infrastructure tax is necessary for continued funding of infrastructure projects, and if that determination is made possible, approval of setting a public hearing to consider a new infrastructure tax expenditure plan for 10:30 a.m. on December 20, 2022 at the Story County Courthouse at 26 South B Street, Virginia City, Nevada. The existence of the public hearing must be advertised in a local paper once a week for two consecutive weeks. Comptroller McCain.
Good morning, Jennifer McCain for the record. This is the first of two agenda items. This one is to determine the necessity to keep the tax in place. In the year 2000, the Board of County Commissioners adopted Ordinance 169 imposing an infrastructure tax in the amount of 0.25% of the sale of personal property within Story County. Within this ordinance, the Board is required to approve a plan for allocation for revenues to permissible infrastructure as allowed by NRS 377B.160, which was included in your packet. Prior to the expiration of an approved plan, the Board is required to determine whether the continuation of the tax is necessary for infrastructure purposes. If so, then a public hearing must be held to determine what the new plan would entail as far as the infrastructure needs. This current plan that we are in right now expires January 2024. However, with the development and extensive work that we've done on the CIP plan, we have come to the decision that a few of the projects that are in that plan are possibly no longer needed to be funded out of the infrastructure, and other projects that have not been completed would roll over to the new plan. With our work on the CIP, we have discovered that we feel there is a need for the continuation of this tax to fund the projects that fall within the NRS 377B. So if you decide that the infrastructure tax should continue, I would ask that you set this public hearing on December 20th, not the November 1st date that is written in the motion.
Okay. Anything else?
I have nothing else unless you have any questions for me.
All right. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Comptroller McCain?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
So just to be clear about the two different steps, today's item would be the time if people have comment about the necessity of the tax. This is the time that we're considering that. The hearing is for us to consider adopting the new plan, as in what the money would be used for. Is that a
That's the way I understand it, but
of how the two break out?
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
All right. I don't have any questions, but we'll go to public comment and see if there's any public comment regarding this item. Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Sure, I'd be happy to. And I would say, you know, I almost get giddy at the opportunity to let a tax sunset. But we've got a lot of work still to do. And so I would be happy to make a motion according to the recommendation of staff. I, Commissioner Mitchell, hereby move to make the determination that continuation of the infrastructure tax is necessary and further move to set December 20th, 2022 at 10:30 a.m. at the Story County Courthouse at 26 South B Street in Virginia City, Nevada as the date, place, and time for a public hearing on the consideration and possible adoption of a new plan for the expenditure of infrastructure tax revenues. I further authorize the county clerk to advertise the existence of the public hearing in the local newspaper once a week for two consecutive weeks.
I second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Jennifer.
Mr. Chairman, before we move on, I just want to make sure we have the time between now and then to get it in the paper two consecutive weeks.
Yes, Clerk Treasurer Jim Hindle is prepared to put that in the paper right after this meeting.
Great,
wonderful.
You.
All right, moving on to item number 18, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of first reading of Ordinance 22-322 regarding the allocation of infrastructure tax revenues on infrastructure projects within the county pursuant to an adopted plan of expenditures. Comptroller McCain.
Jennifer McCain for the record. As I mentioned in the prior item, the current infrastructure plan expires January 2024. During our extensive CIP compilation, we have come up with several items that fit within the NRS that can be funded with this infrastructure tax. You have that in front of you. One of those main items is the sewer bond payments that we uncovered was in the plan. Years ago, when a Far West rate study was done, it will be transferring that money from the infrastructure into the sewer fund, which has currently made those payments. Other items with that we are projecting should be included in the ordinance are various water projects, which includes the carryover of the tank rehabilitation and the B Street water lines. Approximately $2 million of road projects within the Far West road CIP, as well as helping fund the Lockwood substation and the Virginia City Fire Bay / Community Center. These are our suggestions for the projects. But again, at the next meeting during the public hearing, we may have others.
Keith Lewis, DA's office, just because this is the first reading of an ordinance, I need to read the title into the record.
Okay.
That is an ordinance amending Story County Code Section 3.12.012, updating the plan of projects for the proceeds of the infrastructure tax and providing for other properly related matters.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any other questions regarding this?
I do have no more further questions. Thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell.
I don't have any questions.
All right, is there any public comment on this? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, are you ready to make a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, hereby move to approve the first reading of the ordinance 22-322, providing for the allocation of infrastructure tax revenues to infrastructure projects in Story County.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you,
Jennifer. Thank you, Keith. Moving on to item number 19, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the Memorandum of Understanding to the Collective Bargaining Agreement between Story County and the Story County Employees Association, also known as AFSCME, Local 4041, to add fully 100% health insurance coverage to eligible dependents for the purpose of maintaining competitiveness in the region for employee attraction and retention. Misty. Mitzi, sorry.
Mitzi Carter, HR Director. In order to address the continuing issues of recruitment and retention of county personnel, we are happy to say we met with Comstock Chapter, AFSCME, Local 4041, and together we are requesting approval of the attached MOU to amend Article 35, Section 5, amending the county contribution for dependent health insurance coverage to 100%. We are hopeful that this action will help with the successful recruitment and retention until the successor collective bargaining agreement is renegotiated in 2025.
All right, thank you. Is that all you got before I go to questions?
This is in alignment with what we did recently with the Sheriff's Department. So the CBA also does state that if one CBA changes, then we make a motion to have the others fall in line.
Wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Mitzi?
I have no questions. This is a follow-up issue, and I'm pleased to support it. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I realize that to some extent that the fiscal impact is unknown. Do we have any notional idea or directional idea as far as what the impact might be?
At this time, I do not, sir. I can certainly look into that and return with that information. Okay.
Jennifer McCain, for the record. The heavy impact came when we change this in the beginning at the union negotiations. The estimated financial impact is going to be approximately $30,000 to $40,000.
Great, thank you.
That includes this union and the next item as well. So,
great, thank you.
Thank you.
That's helpful.
Any other questions, Vice Chair Mitchell?
No other questions.
All right, neither do I. At this point, we'll go see if the public has any questions or comments. Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the MOU to add full health insurance coverage for dependents.
Back in the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number 20, this discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of an amendment to Story County Administrative Policies and Procedures, number 701, health insurance coverage to amend the county's contribution for dependent health insurance coverage to 100%. In accordance with similar action taken for other employee groups and for the purpose of maintaining competitiveness in the region for employee attraction and retention. Mitzi.
Mitzi Carter, HR Director, for the record. In order to address our continuing issues with recruitment and retention in the county for county personnel, we're requesting approval for Story County Administrative Policies Procedures number 701, health insurance coverage, to amend the county contribution for dependent health insurance coverage to 100%, and that would be effective January 1st, 2023, We're hopeful these actions will again help retain and recruit our current personnel.
All right, thank you.
And additionally, sir, if I may, there was a correction to 2.5 on the attachment for dependent and spouse coverage. There was some language that was erroneously stricken, and that will actually remain in effect. It begins with under the second paragraph under beginning January 1st, 2023. So it starts out effective May 1st, 2012, if the employee's spouse is eligible for other health insurance, insurance coverage of Medicare Part A and Part B. The employee may choose to cover his or her spouse on the health insurance, on the employer's health, dental, and vision plan for the charge equal to 50% of the cost of the spouse's coverage under the employer's plan. That language should please remain in effect.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Mitzi, just to be clear, it's just that last paragraph on the page.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
So when this passes, when are we able to add spouses?
That would be effective. We're going to go through an open enrollment period. I'm working currently with the plan now, and then everything will be effective January 1st. So as soon as I get more information, I've got the forms that we're going to be distributing here pretty quick.
Okay, wonderful. All right, Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Mitzi?
No, thank you, Misty.
All right, covered all your questions.
I'm sorry, just to make sure that I understand specifically the impact here. So is this simply changing the policy to line up with the MOU that we just passed? Does this have impact on appointed officials and elected officials, or is this just simply for the AFSCME covered employees?
For the non-rep? For the non-rep, then there was a language stricken for elected officials, and I'm afraid I might have to get some more information on that. Unless Austin can speak to it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Austin Osborne for the record, and Jennifer's here too, and there's some familiarity catching up with HR on this, so no worries. The whole intent of this thing is we started off with the Sheriff's Office and then the AFSCME group with a purpose really of competitive hiring and competitive retention. There's some issues. You got folks off the Hill here that are providing a higher level of insurance benefits for spouses and for dependents than we are. And there's becoming an issue because of that. So the board has taken action first with the Sheriff's Office to make that correction to get us competitive with the region, then to go with the AFSCME group, which is the general employees of the county, to get them in a like situation. The fire district is in a whole different set of a collective bargaining agreement, so it's not applicable here. The management, appointeds, and electeds, we've always tried to keep them similar to whatever the AFSCME group is, usually no less, no more. And so because those two collective bargaining agreements are done, then we would go to this group, which would be the appointed folks. I want to remind you also, the appointeds are not all management. We have a lot of administrative assistants. We have a lot of line staff that are not represented in a collective bargaining agreement, but they're just